You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of RavensWire, and we are back with another episode here after the AFC Championship round. I'll get into it a bit briefly, but to be honest, I don't think it's something I should be talking about. It's not related to the Ravens anymore. And, you know, yes, we can talk about what happened, but in reality, I'm focused on the offseason. I'm ready for this team to improve. And like I've mentioned before, the offseason is one of the most exciting times for me, but especially for NFL fans, because look, you can identify holes, you can understand where the team needs to improve, and you can also get richer at positions where there are strengths. The Ravens have done that in the secondary, they've done that with their running backs, so it's just a matter of plugging those holes, and thus that's what I want to really get into today. And we're going to start a whole new segment here for Mondays, starting off in the offseason, as this is the second full week in the offseason for Baltimore. We're going to start off a tradition here, and that's Mock Draft Monday. And what I like about this is that every week, the Draft Network releases a new mock draft. And so what I'm going to be doing is getting into the week prior's mock draft, because unfortunately, the mock draft for Monday comes out a little bit after I record, so I'm going to be going over the previous mock draft. If you want to check out the current mock draft that's probably going to be up today, please check it out at the Draft Network. But so I'm going to be analyzing the previous week's mock draft in the first segment. It's only a one-round mock draft, but I want to get into the prospects, see if they would be a good fit on the Ravens. And then in the second and third segments, I've been doing a Sunday mock draft day, and I've been posting it on Twitter for the last 2 weeks. So what I want to do is kind of go into those picks, talk about why I picked them, why the board fell that way, and just overall talk about who I think is going to be a great fit on this Ravens team. So in the second segment, I'm going to be getting into rounds 1 through 3 in that mock draft. And then in the third segment, we'll get into the later rounds, rounds 4 through 7, very important rounds. Regardless, you know, all the flashy picks come in rounds 1 through 3 potentially, but the Ravens have hit on some round 4, 5, 6, and 7 prospects that have really helped shape the identity of this team. So with all that being said, let's get right into it. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, wherever there is a podcast. Again, we are there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnRavens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. All the maintenance is done. Let's get into it. And we'll talk about the AFC Championship game for a minute. The Tennessee Titans falling to the Kansas City Chiefs 35-24 in a game where the Chiefs were able to stop Derrick Henry. And the fact of the matter is the Ravens didn't let the Titans off the field, and that's what the Ravens were so good at. Derrick Henry was held to under 100 yards. The Titans were forced to throw, and while there was some momentum for the Titans early, the Chiefs came roaring back. They will be facing the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. But I have to tell you, watching the Chiefs celebrate that AFC Championship game, it's been a long road for them getting back to the Super Bowl. But for Baltimore, that should just prove his motivation. Now, I'm sure, you know, players weren't working out as this happened. I mean, maybe they were, but look, I'm saying there's a chance that, you know, these guys weren't even watching because they were getting better. They were watching film, and look, obviously that's not going to be the case for everybody. In fact, maybe it's not the case for most players, but these guys are motivated. And look, I'm going to be saying it the whole offseason. I fully expect this team to be back, and this is the year. Next year is the year. 2020-2021. Baltimore Ravens are coming for the NFL, coming for the league with their cap space and with their draft picks. And now let's get into the Draft Network's 2020 NFL mock draft from last week. And the Ravens on the clock at pick number 28 in this mock draft select Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver out of LSU. Justin Jefferson is a guy who I didn't know a lot about coming into the season, but as I've watched his tape, boy, can he do a lot of different things. He's 6'3", 192 pounds, and in his 3 years at LSU, this past season, in the national championship year for LSU, he had 1,540 yards and 18 touchdowns. He averaged 13.9 yards per catch, which is a little bit down from his 16.2 yards per catch average in 2018. That year, he had 54 receptions for 875 yards and 6 touchdowns, but he came on as one of Joe Burrow's favorite targets, and he's a guy who I would love to see in a Ravens uniform, but the actual question is, this draft is so deep at wide receiver. It is one of the deepest drafts that I have ever seen in terms of wide receiver. Now, you have your big three, or what I'll call the big three, in Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs out of Alabama and CeeDee Lamb out of Oklahoma. If I'm looking at those guys, I'm assuming that all three of them are gone by the time the Ravens pick at pick 28. That's where guys like Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk, all these other guys who, you know, are second round prospects, Donovan Peoples-Jones as well, guys who are second round, end of the first round prospects. I can see four receivers going in the first round, and those would be Judy, Lamb, Ruggs, and Jefferson. The only issue for the Ravens is, look, they picked Hollywood Brown in the first round last year. They picked Miles Boykin in the third round last year. They have Willie Snead. Are the Ravens really going to spend a first-round pick on a wide receiver if it's not one of those big three? There's a small gap for Justin Jefferson for me. So it would be Ruggs, Judy, and Lamb. A small gap, then Jefferson, and then another medium-sized gap, and then you get into guys like Peoples-Jones and the like. If the Ravens have an opportunity to select Justin Jefferson, that's amazing, and I would be totally okay with this pick. But what I would rather them do, and I'll get into this in the second segment when I reveal who I picked, I would rather them go after a defensive player, particularly on the edge or an inside linebacker like a Kenneth Murray, who I can't talk enough good about. He's been, you know, my draft crush over these last few weeks. But the fact of the matter is the Ravens know where their needs are. It's wide receiver, it's edge, and it's inside linebacker. Are there three primary ones, and then you have interior offensive line and interior defensive line as kind of the secondary need. What Justin Jefferson would bring is a big-bodied receiver, can go up at the point of attack, he has speed, he does a lot of things well, he's also a big body who can block on the edge. But personally, I think that there's more of a drop-off between inside linebacker and edge prospects from the first to second round, second to third round, than there are with these receivers. The Ravens will have opportunities to select game-changing wide receivers. I'll talk about Juwan Jennings out of Tennessee, Colin Johnson from Texas, even Devin Duvernay from Texas. These guys are going to be available. But when you get to the third, fourth round, the edge talent kind of falls off. So does the inside linebacker talent. I mentioned Kenneth Murray, and then you have guys like Patrick Queen and Troy Dye who are probably going to be second round picks. But then you kind of start to get a little iffy in the fourth, fifth rounds there where, you know, you get Shaq Quarterman from Miami or stuff like that. I think the Ravens would be better off instead of selecting Jefferson in the first round. I'd select an edge player, I'd select an inside linebacker, guys who can contribute right away on day one because we know this offense can be prolific. We see that there aren't a ton of options in terms of free agency at wide receiver, but if they can go and sign an AJ Green or an Emmanuel Sanders and then go out and draft two receivers, that rounds out the wide receiver room if they're going to bring back six receivers. They'll be bringing back Hollywood Brown, Willie Snead, Miles Boykin. They can bring in, say, a veteran, let's say AJ Green for now. They'll bring in AJ Green. And then they can select a guy in the third round, and then maybe another one in the fifth round. That rounds out the receiver room. You can kind of develop these prospects more, but also give Miles Boykin time to evolve. That third round, fourth round prospect, time to evolve, and then you can sit. That fifth round prospect the Ravens take is an inactive, kind of like Jaleel Scott. I personally don't see Jaleel Scott making this team out of training camp next year unless he puts on an absolutely stunning performance in the preseason. I don't think Seth Roberts comes back. I don't think Chris Moore comes back. So the Ravens have room to operate with receiver. I don't necessarily think that picking a receiver would be the best move for Baltimore, but look, if it is a guy like Justin Jefferson, who I think is going to be a dynamic player at the next level, don't get me wrong, I'd be totally all right with that, and I'm not going to, you know, berate the Ravens for doing it. I think that'd be a phenomenal pick. But then you can pick a guy like Kenneth Murray, and then in the second round, you can pick a Donovan Peoples-Jones. You can pick a guy like Clavion Chason, and you can then take a guy like Brandon Ayuk in the second round. There are a lot of options, and as this offseason goes on, there'll be a lot of different scenarios. There's also the scenario in the case the Ravens do decide to trade up or trade back. The Ravens have a lot of picks, and I think the more likely scenario here is the Ravens trade up, or they would trade back for capital in the next year's draft. Because we've seen that before with the Eagles, where the Ravens traded up from the second round to pick 32 to take Lamar Jackson. They traded a second round pick that year and a second round pick the next year. That would be something where if the Ravens can get a second round pick in the early second round plus a second round pick in the next year's draft, that is something I'm totally okay with because you're pretty much sacrificing a fifth year option on a guy, which can be big, but you're sacrificing a fifth year option and maybe 7 to 10 draft slots to get an extra high level pick that can be used in trades or that can be used to select another player that will be on a rookie contract for 4 years. So that's something I can also see, but moral of the story here, Justin Jefferson would be the pick for Baltimore in this Draft Network's 2020 mock draft, a pick that I like, but I think if the draft board falls the way the Ravens want it to, I do believe an edge player or an inside linebacker, pretty much Kenneth Murray, the inside linebacker, would be the move for the Ravens here. We are going to go to break now, but when we come back, we're going to be getting into my personal mock draft that I did yesterday. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. But before we do that, Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. Blue Chew is subscribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, I've got a special deal for our listeners. This is BlueChew.com. I get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON to pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BLUECHew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is a better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Welcome back to the second segment of this Locked on Ravens episode. Kevin Oshreker still with you here, and we just got into the Draft Network's mock draft, but now I'm going to get into a bit of my own mock draft here as a draft that I did yesterday, and I think it turned out pretty well for the Ravens. If this was the way the dominoes were to fall for Baltimore, this is a pretty good scenario and a pretty good coup for Baltimore. So I'm going to start off talking about rounds 1 through 3 in this segment, and then moving on to the next segment, we'll be talking about rounds 4 through 7, although the Ravens don't have a 6th or 7th round pick, so it'll really be a 4th and a 5th round 3rd segment. But now, let's get into this first round. And this player that I selected for the Ravens at pick 28 is a guy who might not even be there when the Ravens pick, but luckily the board fell this way. And in this scenario, the Ravens were able to nab him. So I picked Kalavon Chasen from LSU, the star edge rusher. And I talked about Kenneth Murray being my draft crush. Well, I think this guy is kind of climbing up the list. The Ravens obviously need some pressure from the edge, some pass rush prowess, some sacks on the field. Well, Chasen is the guy, and I think he, in his junior year at LSU, just turned on the Jets. He's a physical freak, first of all. He's 6'4", 250, has a lot of length to him. In his final year at LSU, of course, the national championship winning year for the Tigers, had 60 total tackles, 13.5 for loss, and 6.5 sacks. And while Chasen is considered a bit of a project, in my opinion, outside of Chase Young, he by far has the highest ceiling out of anyone just because of his physical gifts. And a guy who I think can profile both as an outside linebacker for the Ravens or as a kind of undersized, I guess, defensive lineman. Not really undersized, but he's not a big, big guy. He just has physical traits that really go through the roof. He's also a guy who can drop back in coverage. That's an underrated part of his game. We saw with Don Martindale's scheme towards the end of the season, he started dropping Matthew Judon back into coverage to confuse defenses. We all know that Don Martindale loves his exotic packages to confuse the defense. He'll send a safety but drop Judon back in coverage. Judon isn't a natural pass coverer, though. He's serviceable, don't get me wrong, but I think the Ravens would like somebody who, you know, has a little bit more experience in that role, and they could primarily use Judon as a guy, if they do decide to re-sign him, as a guy who can just rush the quarterback. With Chasen, you can actually drop him back into coverage. He makes some plays in coverage, something that the Ravens would value extremely on their defense. Especially guys who can both drop the quarterback to the ground and then make him regret a throw by picking it off or deflecting it, covering a running back out of the flat, covering a tight end when he drops back. That would be absolutely invaluable to this Ravens defense. And what I like about Chasen is the fact that he has such an array of moves. He has a power rush, he has a speed rush, his spin move is deadly, but he also does a lot of different stunts, and I think that's where the Ravens really pride themselves on, is making sure the offensive line is confused, making them pick up guys who they don't normally pick up, and thus in that confusion, then if a guy runs a stunt through the B gap, the offensive line is not prepared. Chasen excels at running stunts, at really delaying his blitzes to the point where offensive linemen sometimes think he's actually dropping back into coverage because that's a part of his game. And then he'll come on a stunt, he's invisible to the line, he'll just shoot up a gap, drop the quarterback, he brings him down, doesn't really miss a lot of tackles. He also is pretty good about setting the edge, and that's something where, look, if you have a pass rusher, it can't be all about rushing the passer. Sometimes they're going to run on you, and you have to be able to set the edge. We saw the Ravens struggle with that a bit last year when Jalen Ferguson was just getting his feet under him, when Tim Williams was still with the team. There were a lot of instances where the Ravens couldn't set the edge, and thus teams were just abusing the Ravens in terms of that, and I think that's an area where the Ravens could stand to use some improvement, where Matthew Judon is again so valuable because he can do that. He can set the edge while also being a deadly threat to rush the passer. So Chasen was my first round pick for Baltimore at pick 28. I do think he goes earlier than this just because of his pure potential and what he's done to improve over his years at LSU. He did have an injury that limited him in his sophomore year where he only played one total game for LSU. But in his freshman year, he did have two sacks along with 4.5 tackles for loss in his 10 games that he played. This is a guy who I think would excel on the Ravens defense. So look out for Caleb Von Chasen. And if you haven't watched his highlights, I highly, highly recommend you do. Moving on to the second round, a guy who I really like in this position and something where if the Ravens do decide to go with an edge player and not Kenneth Murray, Troy Dye is the person I selected with the Ravens second round pick. A linebacker from Oregon. He's 6'4", 226. He's a bit undersized, but he brings an extremely high motor, a guy who will not come off the field. He is a tackling machine. In his 4 years at Oregon, he had 391 tackles. He had 109 his junior year and 107 in his sophomore year. Last year was actually his lowest tackle output. He only registered 84 tackles, but he did have 2.5 sacks. And this is a guy who I think would fit in the Ravens defense seamlessly because, again, of that high motor. We mentioned coverage. We mentioned the Ravens' problem struggling with covering tight ends. And we mentioned, you know, covering running backs out of the flat. Troy Dye is very adept in coverage. He can adapt to a lot of different situations. He's also adept in his skills to cover. He can drop back into coverage. And I think that him next to LJ Fort would be a very good combination because Troy Dye can also come up and stop the run. Now, he is a bit undersized, so sometimes he can struggle to shedder block here or there. He can struggle to bring down a ball carrier, but when he's one-on-one, he usually makes the tackle, and he does it very well. He doesn't let them kind of crawl forward. He's a guy who, if you watch his tape, I'm just going to mention again that high motor. You'll see it. And he's a guy who brings a lot of energy to the field. He's a guy who would fit in really well, and I kind of expect the Ravens to go with the formation of linebackers that they had towards the end of the year in terms of the inside guys. You see two veterans in Josh Bynes and LJ Fort, and then you have Patrick Owusu, who's kind of the young guy. I don't really expect Josh Bynes to be back in a Ravens uniform, but I do expect them to bring in another veteran linebacker, whether it be someone who can start or whether it be someone who can be there for mentorship, because I do expect Baltimore to select a young inside linebacker in this draft. I also think that Patrick Owusu does not return to the team after his subpar showing in his first full year, you know, quote unquote starting, then losing the job, kind of being demoted to an almost backup role. So I think Troy Dye would be a guy who could come in, could provide the Ravens with some coverage support in that front seven, and also be a guy who can come up, be a physical thumper. He can rush the quarterback as well. His first 2 years at Oregon, he had 9.5 sacks. I think that he would be an extremely valuable piece to this Ravens defense as they try to almost mini overhaul that front seven. In the third round, this is where I think the Ravens will select a receiver. And if it's not Troy Dye in the second round for the Ravens, I do think that maybe they'll select Donovan Peoples-Jones or someone of that nature. But in the third round, I selected Colin Johnson out of Texas for the Ravens. And this is a guy who is huge. He is massive. He's 6'6". He is 6'6", 220 pounds. A guy who in his 4 years at Texas had 2,624 yards, 15 touchdowns. Not a guy who will wow you with his stats. His highest receiving total was his junior year in 2018 with 985 yards and 7 touchdowns. But he's a guy who can win at the point of attack. He's not going to wow you with his speed. He probably at this point runs maybe a 4.54, 4.6, which isn't the fastest. But John Harbaugh mentioned in his press conference on Friday, he's trying to find that prototypical wide receiver that will fit this Ravens offense. And right now, I think that Colin Johnson is one of those profiles. He's a big body guy. He can block on the edge. That's part of his game. He can high point balls. Lamar Jackson can throw it up to him. And if a 6'2", 6'3 cornerback is on him, even a 6'4 guy, Colin Johnson still has 2 to 5 inches on him. He can just go up, pinpoint that ball. He's a guy you can use on fades in the end zone. He's a guy you can even use on slants. He usually does catch the football well. He has good hands, and while he's not overly polished in any of his areas, his route running could use some work to a degree. He's a guy in the third round where I think that if you can have a receiving core of Marquise Brown, Colin Johnson, and Miles Boykin, and those are your guys, you know, 2 years down the road, and you get the potential out of them, that's dangerous. That's really dangerous, and I do believe in the Ravens wide receiver room, David Culley and the like, to maximize their potential, and thus you can bring in a veteran like an AJ Green, Emmanuel Sanders, to help that process along, and then pick another guy in the later rounds, and that's kind of a tease for the third segment, as I do have another receiver taken for the Ravens in that draft, but I think that Colin Johnson would be a guy come in immediately. And maybe he's a project like Miles Boykin. Maybe he does get some snaps, but you know, maybe he's not on the same page with Lamar Jackson. There are some rookie struggles sometimes, and we saw that with Miles Boykin. But in the end, I think that Colin Johnson would be an intriguing prospect you could put on the field and maybe obvious running situations because of his blocking prowess. And then even, you know, I'll mention those fades to the end zone again. You know, you talk about a guy who can get the Ravens in the end zone and make sure that they don't have to settle for 3 points. They can get out to big leads and make sure they win at the point of attack. So I think Colin Johnson would be the perfect fit, or at least close to it, to this Ravens offense. We are going to go to our final break now, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about rounds 4 through 7 in the draft for Baltimore, see who I selected and why I selected them. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. Welcome back to the final segment of this Locked on Ravens episode. Kevin Ostreicher still with you here, and we just talked about rounds 1 through 3 in my mock draft for this week for the Ravens, my Sunday mock draft that I'm not talking about today. But now let's talk about rounds 4 through 7. As I mentioned earlier, the Ravens currently do not have a 6th or 7th round pick. And that is because the Ravens traded for Ty Montgomery last season for a 2020 7th round pick. So that's why the Ravens don't have their pick. But there is hope that the Ravens could get a 7th round pick from the Jets on a conditional pick that they acquired from the Jets for guard Alex Lewis. Those conditions currently are unknown, so depending on what they were, the Ravens could get a 7th round pick back. But the Ravens actually have 2 4th round picks at the moment, and obviously this draft that I'm doing does not involve compensatory picks that the Ravens might get, because we don't know where those fall right now on the compensatory spectrum at the moment. But the Ravens actually have 2 4th round picks because of the Jermaine Illuminor trade, where Eric DaCosta had a huge win and traded Jermaine Illuminor in a 6th round pick. So that's where the Ravens' 6th round pick went for the Patriots' 4th round pick. And I think that's an absolute win. Illuminor barely played for the Patriots, and the Ravens moved up 2 rounds because of it. So the Ravens currently have 2 4th round picks, 1 5th round pick, no 6th round picks, and no 7th round picks, but could be getting a 7th round pick from the Jets. So with all that being said, I picked Jordan Elliott, a defensive tackle, an interior defensive lineman from the University of Missouri. He's a guy whose stats aren't going to be the most eye-popping. He had 18 total tackles for loss in his 2 years at Missouri and his 1 year at Texas before transferring. He had 5.5 career sacks, including 2.5 last season. But he's a big body. He eats up space. And I think that, you know, when you think of a 4th-round pick, you don't think guy who eats up space. Well, this guy generates a lot of pressure, and he eats up double teams like no other, and he can shed his blocks very, very well. He's a big athletic freak. He's 6'4", 315 pounds, and he just gets praised and praised and praised and praised from his coaches. And he's a guy who I think is a lot more like a Daylon Mack. He's a guy who's a project, might not see a lot of the field, but Daylon Mack has a lot of potential. I see the same thing in Jordan Elliott. In the event that the Ravens do let Michael Pierce walk, they will be depending on Mack to step up into a big role, depending on if they bring anybody else in to help Brandon Williams. I think that Chris Jones, he's my new free agency crush. I'll get into that later in the week, but I think Jordan Elliott would be a great addition for this Ravens team, just because the Ravens need depth at defensive tackle, especially if Michael Pierce walks or the Ravens let him walk. So Jordan Elliott's a guy who isn't going to provide the most eye-popping stats, the most insane highlights you'll ever see, but he's a solid project who I think could develop into being a really good player for this Ravens team. With the Ravens' 2nd 4th round pick, this is where I selected another wide receiver for them. I picked Van Jefferson out of Florida. He also played for Ole Miss, and Jefferson is a guy who isn't, you know, the biggest guy in the world. He's 6'2", 197 pounds. What he brings, he knows how to carve up defenses. His father was a former NFL receiver, and he's been around the NFL for a while, so he's a very smart football player. And while he is a little bit older coming into the league, he's more of a Hayden Hurst prospect. I think he'll be 24 by the time he takes his first NFL snap. He's a guy who I love because he's a possession receiver. He knows how to carve up the defenses. And on a 3rd down and 7, 3rd down and 8, you can target this guy and he will be open. He reminds me of an Emmanuel Sanders, actually. That's my comparison for him at the moment. He has 16 touchdowns in his 4 years. He had 6 touchdowns in 2019 with 657 yards on 49 receptions. He averaged 13.4 yards per catch. And he's a guy who the Ravens would probably take on as a project. I talked about a project with Jordan Elliott as well, but Jefferson is a guy who would be that 6th receiver on this Ravens depth chart if they do decide to keep six receivers on their 53-man roster. And yes, John Harbaugh is probably looking for that prototypical big body blocker like a Colin Johnson, but I do think they have that guy in Miles Boykin as well. And I think if they bring in AJ Green, that's another option for that. So I think Jefferson is a guy who profiles like a Willie Snead. He's a possession guy. His route running is excellent. He has a high football IQ. That's a guy the Ravens need on their team. So Jefferson is a guy, if you haven't watched his highlights, go check it out. He really just creates openings in the defense. He finds the hole in the defense, sits down, and is open on a lot of plays. So if you haven't seen Van Jefferson play, watch his highlights and tell me what you think. Finally, in the fifth round for the Ravens, I selected Michael Onwenu from Michigan. He's an interior offensive lineman, and with the uncertainty surrounding Marshall Yanda, and with Bradley Bozeman playing well, but maybe there's some uncertainty there with Matt Skura recovering from his injury and being a restricted free agent, and then obviously Patrick McCurry. The main reason for drafting an interior offensive lineman would be for the purpose of Marshall Yanda leaving. That's a lot of experience and a lot of good experience. He's a Hall of Fame right guard. So I think Onwenu would be a good player to draft as, again, a project guy. And he's a big athlete. He's 6'3", he's 350 pounds. And he's a guy who impresses with his ability to reach players in space. He's very mobile on his feet, and his point of attack domination is something that when I watched his tape, I saw a lot, and I think that he has nice flexibility as well. He's a guy who you can see is athletically gifted, and he's able to create edges that a lot of offensive linemen can't create just based off of his pure athletic ability, but he does have shorter arms, and that's something that's mentioned in a lot of scouting reports about him. And that's where he can kind of struggle to get underneath pads and really form a solid block. But I think that's something that can be worked around. I'm not really hanging my hat on that. And he also lacks a bit of strength. That's also something that pops up on a lot of scouting reports for him. He lacks a little bit of strength when he first engages with offensive linemen. But a guy who I think can be a very nice project for Baltimore and even step in and start if needed. Now, obviously, the Ravens do have Ben Powers and James Hurst if they really need. But I think that Onwenu is a guy who I would select with that final fifth round pick just to have a guy who has potential and another body in training camp. And of course, a guy who I think the Ravens could develop and turn into a starter. That's all I have for you today. Tomorrow, we will be getting back into it with more offseason talk for Baltimore. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.